On Point is a production of NPR and WBUR Boston. The program is made possible by your financial support. Please pledge online at WBUR.org.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Comedian, playwright, and actress Amy Sedaris is taking on new turf in her latest outing. She still gets called wacky, anxious, depraved, earnest, and a little dangerous behind her big smile and bouncing curls. Now she's pouring all that into a new role, cookbook doyen, entertainment maven, and all-around guide to cheese balls and casseroles. Martha Stewart, she is not. More like Betty Crocker meets David Lynch. The Sedaris girl from Carolina, who came up through Chicago's Second City Humor School and plays tag team with Stephen Colbert, is ready to unleash the hostess within. Up next on Point, we'll go home for the holidays with comedian Amy Sedaris. Joining me in the studio is Amy Sedaris. She was raised in North Carolina, one of six children in a Greek Orthodox family we've got to know more about. Her brother David Sedaris has chronicled many family tales in his best-selling books and collaborated and written plays with Amy. Amy Sedaris starred with fellow writers and actors Stephen Colbert and Paul Dinello in the Comedy Central show Strangers with Candy and the movie last summer of the same title. Now, just in time for the holidays, Amy Sedaris is out with a big new book of cooking and entertainment with an Amy Sedaris twist. It's called I Like You, Hospitality Under the Influence. Amy Sedaris, welcome. Great to have you here.
That was so well written.
Oh, well, thank you so much. We've been studying in the Amy Sedaris School, but you're all about pictures. I mean,
yes.
You've got pictures just right and left and center here, and they all look right out of 1952. I mean, are you so old that this is what you lean on, Amy?
I'm 45.
Isn't this a little before your time? This looks like, or maybe not. Or did
well,
you
that's
have
what
old
inspired me.
In
when
house?
I was a kid, that's what I remember the cookbooks looking like when I was little. So, and I wanted to do a book for illiterate people, you know, or people who can't read, or children, so they can look at the picture and then they can write their own book in their head.
Are you competing with Martha Stewart now?
I don't know anything about her. I've never even seen any of her books or anything.
But you stood right next to her on her show.
I met her recently. I got to do her show, and I met her once on Conan, but I've never seen her books, and I was never inspired by her. I was inspired by the ladies before Martha Stewart.
I don't think you're going to be best friends with Martha Stewart.
No, she's fine. People always assume that, but I just never... I like the women from a long time ago.
Well, I don't know. Let's listen, because I didn't hear much electricity there.
I don't hear it either.
Well, here's Amy Sedaris with Martha Stewart. You made Halloween decorations.
I thought you meant electricity from this.
No, baked a cake with her. Here you are, just last month on the Martha Stewart show, applying frosting while in talking, you know, mm-hmm. about whether or not you and she live alone.
You live alone, you said?
Yeah, I do.
I don't live alone.
Oh, you don't?
No,
you live
no,
with?
No. I have 5 cats and 3 dogs and
25
red canaries.
And who's your doctor? Okay. So then, you're doing a fantastic job. You should have your own show.
I know. I've been working on that for years,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah, really. I think you'd be good at it.
Cool, cold, large and in charge, Martha Stewart. You've got a different way. Where are you taking
Well, I had a lot of fun doing her show because I said no a couple times, and then I said, okay, I'll do her show. And just because I just felt like we were so different. You know, she talks slow and I talk fast. But I loved her audience, too, and I loved seeing such a big crew. And she was very nice. It's funny, the thing she picked from my book to make is the one thing I didn't make. She wanted to make a Lady Baltimore cake, and the one in my book is plastic because I like fake cakes. Because egg whites intimidate me, so she taught me how to make the Lady Baltimore cake.
But I have to say, on screen, the way she looked at you was something like she might want cleaned up in the kitchen.
Yeah, probably. I haven't seen it yet, so I can't wait to see it.
And you, I mean, you're really looking for something else here. I make my notes at the back of the book. I've got here Betty Crocker meets David Lynch. I mean, there's a love of entertaining, but there's also kind of a dark little edge running through here. Menus for grieving families.
Yes.
And that kind
well,
of
I grew up in the South, and I remember going to funerals, and people would always bring over their dishes with their names on the side of it, you know, and
sure.
on masking tape
on the back of the casserole.
Yes, and I think that's good because when the grieving person's doing the dishes, she doesn't want to have to think about, oh, who does this platter go to? It's there, so she can go back to thinking about the dead person.
American kitsch at a super high level, but also the childhoods of many Americans alive today. Another note I put here, fun with nothing. I mean, you've got Rick Rack and pom-poms.
And googly eyes.
And googly eyes on paper towels and...
that's a good craft idea. Googly has some paper towels.
Disposable.
I like that.
I mean, what's the theme of Amy Sedaris entertaining?
I just like for things to look like they come alive at night, you know, and I like for things to look as real as possible. I like seeing the stitches in things. So I just wanted to everything to look real. And while we shot it in my apartment in the summer, which is why all the food is melting. But that's really, and I overcooked the beans to capture that color, you know, so I just wanted things to look real. And I mean, everything's airbrushed now, and everyone's so intimidated by the way a cake looks. No one's going to be able to make that cake. But in my book, it's like, yeah, you can make it because this is what it's supposed to look like.
The frosting drips a little and that's okay.
It's okay.
All right. So here we are. I don't know.
And it's about just entertaining. You know, a lot of people don't entertain because they don't think they can or they don't have the space. And I'm just saying that all you have to do is just do it your way and just have the right people over and anybody can do it. The book is also for people who don't entertain, who just this way they'll know how to be a good guest.
Entertain, you say, you're right. It may not be the proper way or the most traditional or even legal, but it works for me.
Yeah, it works for me.
All right. So does it mean, if there are flamingos in the front yard, this would work in the kitchen.
There you go. Yeah. What's for dinner? Flamingo.
But you say it's not a joke. This is...
Well, I took it... I mean, there's humor in the book. It's an entertaining book, but the recipes are real, and that was important for me, for people to know, because I didn't want anyone to think it was just a joke book and you toss it aside. You know, I didn't want it in the humor section. I never go to the humor section. So it's just... It is what it is, and it is an art book. You know, it's very visual and real recipes, so...
So when I cook from this book, what are my friends going to make of me? Or for a dear listener out there who picks it up and makes this her bible of entertainment?
What are you asking?
What's the character that emerges from Amy Sedaris?
That's just what I'm cooking. It's salt for flavor. You know what I mean? It's not complicated. Ages 3 and up.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. Meal planning. What looks good on a plate. Think about it visually. You know, if you're going to have, you don't want all white food on a white plate. You know what I mean? So it's just to, it's about the details.
Is it the food of your childhood in the Sedaris family in
North
Carolina?
Yes, I think so. Everyone in my family cooks for themselves, you know, and my mom made 3 meals a night growing up. One for my diabetic grandmother, one for my dad because he was dieting, and then one for all of us. So I like meal planning and I like cooking and baking.
Did I read somewhere that you and your mom actually had a business selling spanakopita, spinach pie?
Mm-hmm. But it wasn't a business. I mean, I would do it with my mom, and then, you know, I mean, we didn't have business cards or anything, but we would make it and sell it.
In the Sedaris kitchen? What was that?
Yeah, we'd make it in my mom's kitchen. I mean, we knew the people buying it, you know. I was a Girl Scout till my senior year of high school, only because you can't go any higher. So the book was influenced by Girl Scouts for the book.
I can see that as well.
I like selling things. I sell things out of my
junior
apartment.
Junior achievement and inspiration to you.
Yes, having a product to sell.
Yeah. No, you bring an age to life, but that family, we've gotten to know a lot through your older brother
yes.
David
mm-hmm.
and through your work as well. Take us into the Sedaris kitchen as you and this big family grew up in the 60s. I mean, mm-hmm. what was it like around your table at your kitchen counter?
It was a lot of fun. My mom cooked every night and we all sat around the table. And then after dinner, we would talk for at least 2 hours, competing for attention, laughing. You know, I think that's why we're all so quick and we all have a good sense of humor. My dad would always, he couldn't, you know, he would leave after 15 minutes, you know, and then retire. And so it was just my mom and all of us sitting around the table.
So your
laughing.
Mom was the goad, the prod, or the audience you were performing for me.
Yes.
Was she the one who put this spark into all of you?
Yes.
Perform for me now.
Yeah, well, she was too. She's a really good storyteller, and I think that's where David got it from. You know, my mom really knew how to work a story, and I think that's where David, you know, got his, you know, talent from.
David goes all intimate and kind of inside, whether it's, you know, the Santa's helper at Macy's, you're the big jester tumbling.
I'm more of a clown.
Was that there from the very get-go?
Yes, I think, since I could walk, you know, I always like disguise kits and costumes and, you know, I like doing different characters. David and I would have our imaginary cooking show in our kitchen, you know, every night growing up. And, you know, like any large family, I think we were all playing with each other and we all got along.
And were you two the sort of towering cut-ups?
Everyone in my family has a good sense of humor. My little brother's hilarious, and I have a sister who lives here in Somerville, and she's really funny. Like, you know, when they call, you get a piece of paper out and a pencil, and you write down what they're saying. That's how funny they are.
Here you've got your big book out coming right into Thanksgiving and Christmas. What are you thinking? What are you dreaming of this
I'll
Christmas?
Never entertain again in my life.
Why? You've got
it all expectations. Laid out now. I don't know, because I am on the book tour. I don't know what I'm going to do for Thanksgiving. I've been invited to people's houses, and I've thought about
baked
maybe
baked butternut
entertain.
And acorn squash here, frazzled leeks and snapping oil. Haven't had that one.
There you go.
Crying mushrooms and phyllo.
Oh, that's a good one.
It sounds like you're already.
Yeah, I guess I am already. No. I don't know what I'm going to do this Thanksgiving. I haven't decided. What are you going to do?
I've got a lot of family coming
in. Oh, you do?
Time.
From?
Yeah. Well, some from North Carolina.
Oh, really? What
some,
part?
I've got a nephew who's just starting at school, medical school.
Wow.
In Chapel Hill.
Oh, wow.
Or Durham, actually.
Durham, yeah. Duke.
Yeah, uh-huh. And a niece coming up from Knoxville, Tennessee.
Wow.
Son coming home from college. We've got in-laws coming in from France. I mean, we got
wow.
It's going to be a big one.
And are you, so is that your house?
It's at my house, and I'm just thinking what
have you gotten your turkey yet or ordered it?
Oh, heck no.
How many pounds will you get?
Well, we like a big one on the platter.
Like how, what's a big, 24?
Yeah, 20 and 19, 20.
Wow.
You know, you want it to look like that. I mean, don't you want that presentation?
Yes.
I mean, a lot of people want to join the conversation with you. Katie's calling from Charleston, South Carolina. Hi, Katie. You're on the air with Amy Sedaris.
Hey, Amy.
Hi, Katie. Now, do you know Steve?
Come on to Charleston and join us for Thanksgiving.
Oh, thank you so much. Do you know the Colbert family? They're from Charleston.
They are. James Island, right nearby.
There you go.
Listen, I was wondering, I wanted some advice from you. Growing up in South Carolina, my mother always fixed a monochromatic meal.
Mm-hmm.
It was turkey, rice and gravy, dressing, oyster pie, and biscuits. All beige.
That's
all beige or tanned, Amy Sedaris.
I should continue that, or if we should just go ahead and have an oyster roast and ribs.
I think I like tradition, and you're from Charleston. It seems like that's what you guys are all about. I would stay with the tradition, and then when something happens and she's no longer around, then you can break the ice and go ahead and get some ribeyes and some oysters.
Even for my Yankee in-law.
Yes, that's what I would do. I would stick with the tradition myself.
Well, let me ask you this, Amy. How do I get them to help?
Oh.
I had a little trouble last year. I ended up yelling at my father-in-law, and that's not very good.
Do you really want the help, or is it something, do you really enjoy doing it yourself, and you think you want the help?
I love doing it, but I did everything, and I had a formal meal, and I completely knocked myself out. Nobody did anything. Nobody brought anything. I had beautiful table set with flowers and...
Oh,
can you believe it?
Nobody helped. I finally said to my father-in-law, would you carve the turkey? And he was indignant that I had no poultry shears.
Oh, my God. I can't believe it.
How do you rally the troops for a big day of entertaining, Amy?
I would say you've got to bring this. You're bringing the white wine. You're bringing the red wine. I would give them each a list and tell them.
Give them assignments.
Exactly. Give them something they can just pick it up. They don't have to make anything, you know. You're not going to like it anyway. Because if their heart's not into it, it's not going to taste any good. Just give them a chore.
Monochrome is fine, but give them a job and make them do it, Katie. Enjoy your Thanksgiving in Charleston. Let's get a call from Des Moines, Iowa. Dale, you're on with Amy Sedaris.
Hello, Tom. Hello, Amy.
Hey, Dale.
Hi. First of all, I want to tell you I adore you and your brother.
Thank you.
Met your brother when he came to Des Moines, and he made a hysterical comment about my breasts, but we'll leave that at that.
Oh.
Okay. Is there anything we can learn?
You know, I am going to have a Christmas party with the girls, and I'm wondering what you might recommend to drink at our party.
Oh, how about something with the girl's name, like Lady Slipper or something? You know, or make your own drink up. You know, there's so many different flavored vodkas out there nowadays. It seems like you could start experimenting.
What's in a lady slipper, Amy?
Well, I have one in the book, and it's vodka and pink lemonade with a dash of cherry juice in
it. Does that sound like Christmas, Dale?
That sounds like wonderful Christmas, and I do own two copies of your book because my sister sent it to me the same day I bought it.
Oh, really? Oh, that's odd.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe something with green cream de mint. That's pretty and looks Christmassy. Maybe each of you can make your own drink and then switch it around, but you don't want to mix liquors, do you?
Yeah. But we can have green for some and red for some.
Maybe you can have the basic of like a vodka base, and then you all can decide, you know, try different mixers or something.
Wonderful.
I don't drink a lot. I you know, so I don't know much about drinks. I don't have that many in my book either.
Dale, what do you think of? Well, I saw a fair number in
of
the
drinks?
Book. Of drinks?
Oh.
I mean, it seemed like every time
not
we turn the page, maybe that's just where my eye went.
Oh, yeah. Maybe that's where your eye went.
Maybe it's just me. Dale, what about Amy's advice? You've got the book. You've got two copies. She says, fill the medicine chest with marbles so that when Snoopy guests open it up, all the marbles hit the sink.
I did that with paper when my in-laws were going to come take care of my dog.
Paper? Now, how does
how
that
does
work?
Paper
when
work?
It hits the sink, it makes
I
no noise.
I shoved a bunch of paper in the top.
You are hilarious.
Yeah.
And you could tell.
Yeah.
Oh, to know whether or not they'd been in there.
Oh, yeah. So when you went in there later and you saw the paper on the floor, you're good. Yeah. That's smart.
Dale, what draws you to David Sedaris when he comes out? Amy, when she puts out her book, what is it about this Sedaris clan?
I feel like I was a member of their family, though it was a different family in Illinois, but we were the same, living in an alternative state.
There you go.
Very, very similar.
Oh, okay.
Dale, enjoy the Christmas
Thank
party.
Thank you, Dale.
Thanks.
Thanks a lot for joining us. Amy, there's a fair bit of your body in this book. I mean, we've got you here slathered in something, whipped cream or...
Oh, yeah. Remember Herb Elbert's CD, Whipped Cream and Other
Tijuana
Delights?
Brass and,
that's
and
what
all
inspired
that.
Me. Oh, that's what inspired that photograph. Well, although I should have used shaving cream because I smelled like feta cheese for 4 days.
We heard that. But here you are, you're kind of bottoms up with your toes, woo! Way
yep,
up in the
yep.
air, and what's this? Is this part of entertaining? You got to get naked?
Yeah. Go with what you know, baby. Yeah. The naked truth about entertaining.
David's calling from New Haven, Connecticut. David, you're on the air with Amy Sedaris.
Yeah, I just want to say I love Strangers with Candy. I love your brother. Me Talk Pretty One Day is a great book, and I'm a huge fan of the both of you. I don't have a holiday cooking question, but I wanted to ask two questions. One, was your character in Strangers with Candy, Jerry Blank, at all in any way based on any of your real-life experiences? And then the second question is sort of dependent on the answer to the first.
Okay.
How do you let someone into your unique weirdness without scaring them away?
Oh.
Let's get in a relationship.
I don't really... Well, with Jerry Blank, I mean, I don't really have... I'm not a junkie whore, and I don't do any... I mean, smoke pot's the only drug that I would ever do, but... So I kind of just made her up and took things from different people to create her. But there's an innocence about Jerry that I do share with her. And she attracts misfits and outcasts, and I do too. I'm drawn to them, and they come right for me with their hands in front of their face.
We love you.
Yeah. See, there you go.
But David wonders, and anyone would, who's seen you when you're really, you know, on and in character, and that mind going a million miles an hour and sort of observing and pinging off everything in sight, does it make it hard for you to make room for people to come into what David calls your weird little self?
I don't think so. I don't know. That's a good question. When you say come in, you mean like let them know who I really am? Maybe. Yeah, I have
under
the friends
the
that
huge
I have
razzle dazzle, and it's some thick icing there.
You know, if I take the mascot head off.
Yeah.
Yes, I think I'm a pretty grounded person, and I think I have a lot of really good friends, and also coming from a family that I'm close to. I think, you know, I have those people around me, and then, you know, when there's an audience or you are on, you know, you can only get so close. But I do have close relationships with people.
Let's hear. Just David, stick with us for a second. I want to listen to a moment where you're sort of at full bore here.
Oh,
this is you're on the Colbert Report. This is in July. Starts off looking like an ordinary interview with Colbert, a formal interview, but quickly turns into an acrobatic act, all out green sequins, when Colbert asks you, Amy Sedaris, what you do for exercise.
I tumble size.
So
yes.
Do I tumble.
Really?
No, I really do. I tumble. I tumble with our building manager, Tad.
Tad,
you there? Tad, you want to tumble? We should all tumble.
All right, I'll tumble.
Tad, you ready? Get some music, Tim.
And off it goes. Amy Sedaris strips straight down to a green sequined, I don't know, tumbling suit. On comes Paul Dinello as Tad.
Yes.
You, Stephen Colbert, and all the rest, like suddenly doing Chinese acrobatics. We've got head over tails and people gripping each other around the shoulders and hinders in faces and all the rest. How do you get wound up for a show like
that? Well, when I was in Chicago, I lived over a deaf girl. She was 5 and I was 30. And she came back from seeing Cirque du Soleil and she was trying to explain it to me. And so after that, I decided from now on, whenever I do anything, I'm going to do it for deaf people. So I went out and bought tumbling outfits, two lady pantsuits for Paul and Steven, and I bought some tumbling books. And we did that every night at Second City because I just it was important for me, you know, just so if you didn't have to rely on the words to get the humor. So I would even, when we were doing Strangers with Candy, I would come home at night and watch Strangers with Candy with the volume down to see if, okay, I wonder if, you know, my friend Gracie would be able to follow.
Will it work for the deaf?
Yeah, which is why also for the book I went visual with it. You know,
you
for
say, write in a book,
read.
It's
yeah.
for deaf people too. I mean,
yeah.
it is it's just, about as visual as you can.
Because that was so important to me. And so anyway, we tumbled for years. And then Colbert, I said, oh my, I couldn't wait to do a show, but I'm like, I know you, you're in character, it's going to be so weird. So he said, let's tumble. And I was like, okay, we hadn't tumbled in 10 years. And those two were sore too. 2 days later.
And I'd believe that. I mean, it was quite a show. What do you make of Colbert's ascent into the way?
Oh, I think it's great.
You guys from Second City way up there.
Yeah, I think it's great. Steven's one of those guys that he looks like everybody.
Yes.
So we would be like on stage for 9 hours and then you come off stage and be like, oh, were you in the show? I mean, no one would recognize him because he looks like everyone. And Paul and I have always known what a genius Colbert is. And so
what
I'm just
years
so glad.
Were you there together in Chicago at Second
City?
Oh,
I think like maybe, you know, we were there for like 5 years starting in like 87. I think like that.
And was that your school for humor, or did you bring it on when you came?
I went to training center at Second City. We all went through the training program, and then we toured for a couple of years.
And what came out of there? Was it the same thing you brought in, just buffed up in your case in Colbert's, or did you find a character there?
Well, we all kind of came there with our bag of tricks, and then you learn the rules so you can break the rules. And whenever we work together, we use improv as a tool. You know, none of us get up and improvise, you know, like who, what, where in front of an audience. But writing Strangers with Candy and the movie or Exit 57 or anything, we've always used it as some kind of a writing tool.
You know, I didn't know if we'd find you today in your full performance mode or in your kind of Amy tells it like it is mode. It seems a little bit more of the latter. So let me ask you. Here's Colbert now, who's doing his thing and really kind of a hand on the wheel of the American mind and zeitgeist in politics. And, of course, he came out of The Daily Show. Mm-hmm. Doing this. What's that about? Are you surprised to see this kind of absurdist humor so much at the center of American life and politics now with Colbert and Jon Stewart and all the rest? Did you see this coming?
With Stephen, I didn't think, you know, when you're friends with everybody, you're just kind of like, you know, well, of course it happens. The same with my brother. When people say, hey, did you know David was going to be, you know, you're not, they're just really funny, talented people, and they're good people. And Colbert has a soul, which makes him, you know, it's all a good thing for Stephen. He's not going to change. He's not going to turn into somebody else.
A monster.
It's not going to happen to him. He's a real person, and he's a good person, and really funny. So, and it's perfect for him what he's doing. That show is absolutely perfect, and I'm just so happy that Jon Stewart recognized that in Stephen Colbert. You know what I mean? That this is his thing, and because Paul and I always knew it. So I couldn't be happier for him.
Amy Sedaris with Friends in High Places in comedy right now. Relatives too, and she's right there herself. Her new book is I Like You, and of course that's what she would call it. Josh is calling from Framingham, Massachusetts. Hi, Josh. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, Josh.
Hi, Amy. Big fan of yours.
Thank you.
If I'm going to ask this question, my answer, I'd love it to be from you. I live in, you know, an overpriced, extra small apartment in Boston. And I would love to be able to, you know, entertain, like, you know, bring people over. I'm recently out of college, but how do you do it on the, you know, the cheap? How can I do it without having to spend, you know, a week's paycheck on it?
Well, you could ask everybody to contribute to your party. So if you invited 5 people over, you could say, listen, I'll provide the meat or whatever, and then you can ask everyone to bring something. You know, you could also have come, have eaten, meaning go ahead and eat, and then just come over and we'll sit around and maybe you could make a cheese ball or something that's inexpensive to make and then just, you know, have beers or whatever. I mean, if you can't afford to put out a big spread, nothing's wrong with that. Just, yeah, either have people contribute or order in a couple pizzas, and I think you could do it pretty pretty cheap. You'll be surprised.
How do you make it special?
Spaghetti. You could just boil spaghetti, add butter, salt, and pepper, and then throw some lettuce around it for color, and then that's a good meal. I mean, if you're in college, people appreciate anything. I mean, special is having them into your home and you know, clean up. That's special. You know, just put some effort, just so they know that you did something to prepare for them.
Josh, you ready to do it?
Oh, I'm gonna try my best. We the pizza thing's already been done about 1,000 times.
That's okay. Well, just boil some spaghetti and throw something on top. I mean, spaghetti sauce is so easy. All you need is a couple cans of crushed tomatoes and some salt and pepper and olive oil and some garlic and onion, and it's done. I mean, that's not gonna cost you anything.
But share a couple of
charge
treats
people.
Here. Charge people, fine. But you've got all kinds of ways without a lot of money to sort of really perk it up and make it different.
Because I don't have a lot of money, and I have a small apartment, it's never a problem.
I don't know if Josh has pantyhose, but you've got a lot of advice around
Josh pantyhose. Josh has pantyhose, okay. Trust me.
Okay, but what could he do with the pantyhose?
You can make, I got so many crafts in my book for pantyhose. You can take a leg and fill it with white beans and just tie it off and put it over your eyes. And just relax and let that pressure from the beans rejuvenate your socket so you'll look good for your guest.
Now we're
There's
getting
so
somewhere.
Many things.
Josh, run with that one. Let me go to Nashville, Tennessee, and Dan. Hi, Dan. You're on the air with Amy Sedaris.
Hi, Amy.
Hey, Dan.
My favorite possession I own is my Wakefield CD, Sangaye.
Oh, that's
They're
nice.
So great.
Thank you.
I just wanted to call and tell you thank you so much for sharing about the loss of your mother, you and your brother. During the holiday season, I get really upset. But
How long did your mother
really,
die?
You guys have both just really helped me keep a good attitude about it.
How long ago was it when your mom died?
It's been 3 years.
Oh, 3 years. Oh, yeah. So it's, that's tough.
Yeah, but, I mean, anyway, I just wanted to call and thank you for everything that you've shared with us.
Oh, well, thank you.
You always make me smile so much.
Oh, that's nice. Thank you. Well, I hope you have a nice Thanksgiving.
We love you.
No, thank you.
Dan,
bye.
Dan, thanks for calling. You've got a section here on menus for grieving families. What about your mom's passing? When was that?
My mom passed away, I want to say, 14 years ago. Mm. 14 years ago, yeah.
And it was a big deal given the structure of your family.
It's
a big
deal
for anyone,
deal.
But in your family, she was kind of the family hearth.
Because I always thought, oh, when mom dies, I'll kill myself. I'll just kill myself. You know what I mean? When growing up, you always think
it's all
that.
Over then.
Yeah, it's all over. And then you find a different kind of strength when you lose a parent. I kind of find it, I mean, you can't, when someone loses somebody right away, it's hard to explain this to them, but it feels comforting. And I do, she's there. She just can't reach out and touch her, but you know she's there in so many different ways. So in a way, it's kind of nice that you know that. I mean, it just changes you, and you just look at life differently. It makes you fearless, and you just think if you can deal with it, then you can deal with anything.
Paul's on the line from Providence, Rhode Island. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Amy. How are you?
Hi, Paul.
I just want to say I'm a big fan. Just got the book for my birthday. Haven't had a chance to really look at it yet.
How old are you?
Pardon me?
How old did you turn?
I turned 45.
Oh, okay.
You're right there with Amy, practically.
Yeah, same age.
Mid-decade. But I want to say you have had a great influence on me and my partner and friends. We actually play your DVDs at parties sometimes. And my 18-year-old niece has the full box set.
Uh-oh.
And you have forever changed the way that we speak.
Uh-oh.
Paul, what do you mean? Give us an example. We'll get it from Amy T. What do you mean?
Well, I can't say pizza normally
pizza,
anymore.
Pizza, pizza, pizza.
Right. Pizza, pizza. I can't say Kimberly.
Kimberly.
And I and my friends have extended it to many other words that sound great in your speech.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a lot of fun.
Paul, define for us what it is that makes Amy Sedaris this icon for you.
Gosh, I just think the character is an odd twist of things we love and loathe in ourselves and one another, if that makes any sense.
Yes, it does make sense.
But so here's my question.
Okay.
First, you have to say Kimberly for me.
Kimberly.
Thank you. My family is very loud at holidays. I'm going to be going home to New Jersey to spend Thanksgiving with them. And as the dinner progresses, they get louder and more escalated. And I was wondering if there were any medication sprinkles available to add to, like, mashed potatoes or stuffing.
I guess you could ground up Valium or Xanax. I mean, they do it for rabbits sometimes to calm them down when a hurricane's coming.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like maybe you could do that. But you don't like, can't you just go with it? Won't that be fun for you to be around?
Yeah, it
that
is.
In a way, like, because you can walk away from it in a couple days, too.
It's actually a lot of fun. My grandmother, who died at the age of 95 a few years ago, wore two hearing aids, and she used to just pull the hearing aids out mid-meal.
No problem.
That's great.
But love you, and good luck with everything. When are you going to get your own show?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe one day.
Amy Sedaris. She is her own show, Paul. It sounds like you're in it. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for calling.
Bye.
Amy, you and David, too, inspire this kind of passionate fandom out there. And funny stuff, weird stuff. Here's a New York Times critic talking about watching you do your the off-Broadway show where you used to tape the tip of your nose against the face, against your face. He says, this is the New York Times. He says, I laughed so hard that I tasted my own bile. Sounds like a line.
That's what you want. Headline news.
Yuck.
Well, that's something everyone's done. You know, since they were 3 years old, you know, you're taping your nose up. I just still do it.
The Times calls you the portrayer of the oversized, the deformed, and the delusional. Is that how you see yourself?
Well, that's nice. I don't know. I just know I liked pretend. You know, I like, you know, like... Just, like I said, disguise kits and just, delusional sounds good. Dizzy and delusional.
More tips. Games children can play, I guess, while you're entertaining. Beauty parlor. What's that?
Beauty parlor, well, when you do each other's makeup and then you talk about your problems. A lot of those games I play now. I mean, I do. I don't mind games, but, you know, I like doing, like, little things like that with when my friends come over. Like, you know, pretending the phone's ringing. You have to drag yourself from the bed to the phone, and you try to answer it by the time, you know, it stops ringing.
Yes.
Breaking a breakaway china over each other's head, which is so funny. It's a lot of fun. And some of those games I got from Girl Scouts, where they would blindfold you and put you in a car and drive you across town and then unblindfold you and then you'd have to go back, try to find your way back home on your own.
And then you're back in the kitchen. Your instructions for how to deal with the elements of the meal, not exactly Julia Child. Here, you advise in one of your recipes that we toss frantically. Rosemary butter, brown sugar, cayenne pepper, and candied ginger, and toss frantically. What's the difference between a good toss and a frantic toss?
Because I didn't want to always repeat myself in every recipe. You know what I mean? Sometimes it's brown, sometimes it's tan. You know, I just got tired of using the same words.
Sarah's calling from New Haven, Connecticut. Hi, Sarah. You're on the air. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Tom. Hi, Amy.
Hey, someone else called from New Haven.
Yeah.
I know. I noticed that. It gave me the idea to call in myself.
I did a play in New Haven once at the Meatpacking District.
Oh, yeah.
We have a Meatpacking District here?
Well, it was called the Way... something. I can't remember the name of the theater. But it was next to a meat plant.
Can't forget that. It's all about entertaining. Sarah, what's your question?
Well, I just want to say I've been pacing around my house, taking deep breaths so my heart won't pound out of my chest because I'm so excited to talk to you. I just asked for your book for my birthday.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, which is tomorrow, and I'm having a little dinner party. And my question is that I'm having people locally, like from here in New Haven, and also my friends from Boston because I lived there for 6 years, and I'm wondering if you had any ideas about how to bridge the gap between people from different places that might not know each other, but I'm having them all here for sort of an evening of dinner and games and having fun.
Good question. Classic issue.
Well, I think if they're your friends and they all have something in common, I mean, if your friends in Boston like you and your friends there like you, then they're all going to be there for you. So they'll probably get along, I would imagine. You know what I mean? I mean, I would think. So,
icebreakers you could suggest, any?
Someone told me that it's fun to introduce people. You know, like you might want to say, oh, hi, this is Alice, and she's a pediatrician, and this is Tom, and he's works at a gas station. And maybe that's not true. You know, you just made it up. And then you walk away, and that gives those two people something to talk about. They'll defend themselves. Oh, no, I'm not a pediatrician. And, you know, that's a good way of getting them to talk. But are you making the dinner yourself, or are they doing it for you?
It's going to be a potluck.
Oh, that's fun. And what about the cake?
My good friend is actually, she might make cupcakes, but she also might make a series of sweet breads. Because I'm not a sweet person, I'm a salty person.
Oh,
like,
I see.
I prefer salty stuff, so we still have to have dessert, though. So she's going to make, like, banana bread and pumpkin bread and bring those.
Oh, my land. And does that make you a Scorpio?
I am a Scorpio.
Oh,
Amy scores again.
Good luck tomorrow. That's all I'm saying.
And cupcakes. That's right up your alley.
Yep.
I mean, you're a huge cupcake.
Yes, I sell them out of my apartment. Shady.
Yeah, it is kind of shady. But what's your favorite flavor?
Vanilla.
What are you into lately?
Vanilla. And use the back of the box for the frosting. Back of the box recipes are the best. I'll make chocolate on request, but it takes longer and it's messy.
But also the sprinkles show up better on vanilla.
Yes, they do.
Sarah, it sounds like you got a great party coming here.
Yes. Happy birthday, Sarah.
Thank you so much for your advice. I'll take it.
Bye.
Happy birthday. Let's get Jerry from Columbia, South Carolina. Hi, Jerry. You're on the air.
Hi, Amy. How are you?
Hi, Jerry. I'm fine. Thank you.
I just wanted to ask a question about any future collaborations that you might have with Stephen Colbert. I actually was present at your reading of Wigfield in Atlanta and actually saw you in the Book of Liz in New York.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Bit of a groupie.
So we know. I'm going to be in Atlanta sometime soon.
Anything else happening with that book or future collaborations with you two?
I don't have any plans right now. I'm just promoting the book, and then I'm going away for Christmas. That's all I know.
Does he still return your calls? Does he hang out in your West Side apartment, or has he gotten fancy pants now?
No, he calls me, and we email back and forth.
He hasn't gotten too big then?
No.
Any self-doubt in Stephen Colbert that you pick up on?
No.
He's all there?
He's all there. Yeah, he's yeah.
Jerry, what would you like these two do? If you were the producer or director, Jerry, what would you have these two do?
Oh, I'd love to see a movie of Wigfield.
Well, we talked about doing that a long time ago, but I mean, who knows if that'll ever happen. You know, movies don't get made.
There's always tumbling.
Or a movie of the Book of Liz.
Oh, yeah.
And there's always more tumbling. Jerry, thanks very much for your call.
Thank you, Jerry.
Let's go to Burlington, Vermont, and Autumn is on the line.
Autumn?
Hello, Autumn. I've always wanted to say that.
Hi, Amy.
Hey, Autumn. Hi.
Great to talk to you.
Oh, nice.
And first of all, I want to tell you that I dressed up like Jerry Blank for Halloween.
Okay.
did you act like her, too?
I did. I tried my best.
Uh-huh.
My friend said I gave her voice a little too much of a southern twang.
Oh, that's okay. I bet Jerry would pick up a southern twang if she was in the South.
Yeah. But I was wondering if you had any good recipes for a Jell-O mold, because I tried to make one for my friend for her birthday, and it kind of flattened out.
I don't. The last time I made Jell-O is I did it in a tall glass, and I did the thing where you make the Jell-O and let it set for a little while,
uh-huh.
And then you do the whipped cream, and then you do Jell-O again, you know, to alternate it, because I think that's really pretty. That was the last time I made Jell-O. You know, the trick is just making sure that you stir it enough so everything, you know, dissolves, so it's not, you know, so gritty and everything. But I don't know why it would go flat. I mean, all it is water in that box, so.
Well, mine had tons of stuff in it, like shredded carrots.
Oh, well, that's why. You put too much stuff in it, and it bogged it down. You probably needed just more Jell-O.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably what you did.
Less stuff, more Jell-O,
yeah.
Maybe some whipped cream, Autumn. And if you look inside the book, you can see just how to smear it across your body as well.
There you go.
If that taps it up. Thanks for your call. Let's
Bye,
go
Autumn.
Let's go to Enfield, Connecticut. Carrie's calling. Carrie, you're on with Amy Sedaris.
Hi, Tom. Hi, Amy.
Hey, Carrie.
You
hey.
Hey, well, it's interesting because I was driving down the Mass Pike, leaving the Boston area to come to Enfield, and I was listening to you guys, and Amy, I am so psyched that you wrote this book.
Oh, wow, thank you.
Because I feel competent in many other areas of my life, except when it comes to hosting.
Oh.
I have great plans. I'll invite people over, and then within the hour before they come, I feel like, what have I done?
Oh, that's
what
common.
What was I thinking? Because I make the mistakes of, you know how you're not supposed to clean the same day that you entertain?
Mm-hmm.
Or you're supposed to already have the house clean. And the other mistake of never serve something that you haven't tried before?
Yes.
Well, I just throw all that to the wind, and I just, you know, end up in the same situation anyways.
Well, that's fun. That means it's, I mean, if people always follow those rules, then as a guest, I mean, it might be fun for a guest when someone's like, you know what, I'm experimenting tonight. I mean, that makes the guest feel different. And, you know, I clean my apartment the same day of the party. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the difference is, though, is that I end up just being like a spaz in that last hour. So when my guests arrive, I feel like, you know, I'm still putting on makeup. I'm still stuffing something in the closet.
Okay, yeah, you need to pre-plan a little bit more. Just pre-plan, you know. Yeah, you just need to yeah.
So, but you're a go-with-the-flow entertainer.
I'm a go-with-the-flow entertainer, but I'm also, I'm prepared. You know, I've done the work.
The cheese balls are looking a little dank. You've got refreshing the cheese balls.
I can refresh it, re-roll
it. What does your cheese ball look like, and how do you refresh it?
It's about this size, you know, and it's a combination of cheese. Oh, I'm sorry, about the size of a baseball, a little bit bigger. And then, and I roll it in crushed
nuts. This is the nuts, and, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
What kind of cheese do you use in your ball?
I use smoked Gouda and cream cheese and butter and steak A1 sauce and a little bit of milk.
And refreshing a cheese ball, what is
right,
that?
Right, so if I had people over on Monday and I had the cheese ball and then they left, then I could reshape the cheese ball, re-roll the cheese ball, and have different people over the next night.
Kind of like
and
making a new snowball with
exactly,
it.
Exactly. I've done it.
Carrie, there you go. I mean, think
there
about
you
it. If you can refresh a cheese ball, then there's not much to worry about.
There you
and
go.
There's hope for for everything. Well, I can't wait to get this book for the how-tos because I think, you know, it's really going to help me. And I can't wait to see the photos of reality food.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. You've seen it. Trust me.
Yeah, we've got ceramic squirrels. And, think ceramic squirrels, and you're halfway home. Carrie, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Okay.
Think about a cookbook that uses the phrase fungus among us.
Fungus among us.
And, yes.
Those are mushroom recipes.
Yeah. No, it's great, but I haven't seen it in a cookbook before.
Oh.
Roz is calling from Arlington, Massachusetts. Hi, Roz.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, Roz.
I was wondering if you could describe your worst health food experience.
Health food?
Mm-hmm.
I don't really have, just going into health food stores a lot of time is a bad experience. They're slow. It's always like, first time the new hands. You know, they're slow. They never look healthy, the people who shop in them. And it's always a small space. So you have to struggle getting by people. And no one seems to have a sense of humor in health food stores. And things are always expired.
That sounds bad enough right there.
But I go to them. I mean, I have a rabbit, and I go to health food stores to buy her greens. I get organic greens for my rabbit because they have dandelion greens at health food stores a lot of times. But I'm always, you know, I can't think of a really, I mean, there's a nice one I go to in New York, actually. But, you know, usually it's just, yeah, too small, and it's kind of dirty, and people just look emaciated.
Heads up, Roz. There's a list of potential woes. Let me get one more call here from Katie in Boston. Katie, you're on the air with Amy Sedaris.
Hi, how are y'all?
Hey, Katie.
Good. I was calling because I'm going home to Texas for Thanksgiving, and my mom's husband, my stepfather, actually works for Halliburton, and me and my brothers are a bunch of liberals. Oh. And I was wondering, how do you prepare for a Thanksgiving dinner that in the past has always been so uneventful because you can't really be happy, and now as a result of the elections, we can kind of gloat.
I don't think
recipe
I'd go.
For disaster?
I don't know if I would go home then. I mean, if it's not going to be fun or enjoyable for you, plus it's Texas, I mean, I don't know if I would probably do something else or go for a really quick trip. You know, I don't know. You know, it's funny. I don't have, I mean,
politics
yeah.
at the table? What about it?
I don't know. Well, I mean, I always love to hear people talk about politics at the table, especially when they don't agree. It can be fun. You know, most people would say, oh, it's a disaster for a party. But I always like hearing different people's opinions.
If your stepdad worked for Halliburton?
Yeah, well, I don't know. That would be tough. You know what I mean? Then that would be like, oh, God, it might be really hard and annoying. Again, I would reach for the pills.
Katie, put your game face on, and good luck in Texas. Amy, we just got another minute here. I mean, you're parting big sort of philosophical observations for people on entertainment.
Well, you know. You know.
Oh, well. Plastic or paper?
Plastic or paper or paper.
You know, popcorn, homemade or bought?
Oh, I have to buy, you know, I pop it in my Revere pan.
You don't get, do you get the big cans at Christmas time that have the cheese, corn,
no,
popcorn?
No, I like Paul Newman's, and I use olive oil and I pop it in my Revereware.
The tchotchkes on your kitchen counter, what have you got? I see a lot of ceramic squirrels here. What else?
I have a lot of squirrels in my apartment, and I have a real rabbit, so I have little rabbit things and stuff, but, and I've friends who've done artwork and it's real homey in my apartment.
Oh, well, we'd like to come over for Thanksgiving.
Oh, that's not going to happen.
No, I can see that.
I don't
There's just too many
happen.
Of us, and hey, you've got a life to lead. Amy Sedaris, it's a wonderful treat, and it's great to have you. And we wish you luck with the book. The book is I Like You, Hospitality Under the Influence. You going to be in New York for Thanksgiving?
Yes, I am.
Do you go see the parade? That's not your thing.
I hear about it.
Yeah. And right on through the year. Amy, thanks for coming.
Thank you very much.
Does David come around for the holidays?
I'll see him at Christmas.
Yeah, in the Carolinas or New
York?
I'm
going to visit him in France.
In France?
Yep.
Oh, the
with
Sedaris
my older
kids.
Sister.
Oh, the Sedaris kids do get around. It's great to have you. Thanks
Thank
a lot
you.
For being with us.
Bye.
Amy Sedaris. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.